Welcome back to Alive at 5. I'm your host, David Leonard, and it's my pleasure to welcome the program here this afternoon, Rob Lucy. Rob is the author of a book entitled Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People. And when I heard about his book, I got to thinking about the idea of a legacy. And one of the things that came across to me was I don't think many people really understand what this is all about. I'm quite sure that I don't entirely understand what this is all about. But you know what? That's why I wanted Rob to come on the program here with us today and spend some time talking to us about legacies. Good afternoon, Rob, and thank you so much for making some time for me.
Hi, David. Great to be here.
At the beginning, for a listener out there who may not be familiar with you at all, perhaps has never heard of Rob Lucy, if you'd be so kind, tell us a little bit about yourself. Who is Rob Lucy?
There are a few people in the world that don't know who I am, which is fine. My first career, David, was as a journalist, and so I produced around the world, and then began my own company. And when I began my own company, I started doing some volunteer work with some charities, and then I was lucky enough to the very first wish. You remember you'll know the organization called the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Well, the very first wish was done in 1982 in Phoenix. We saw it on 60 Minutes, and I called CBS and found the two women who had done this wish. And I asked, hey, do you mind if we use the phrase Make-A-Wish up here? I'm in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada. And so we began the Make-A-Wish Foundation in Canada, and I was with that foundation, both local, national, and I was on the international board for many years. And so we were doing wishes, and I was doing a variety of other charity work too. But there's one story, I think, that kind of planted legacy in my brain. And that was, and I'll tell you this story, is one little fellow, of course, these young kids whose lives were, they probably weren't going to lead long lives. He had a type of cancer in his brain. But his wish was he wanted to see there was an a cappella group. I don't know if you heard of them, called the Nylons. And the Nylons were an a cappella group. Then he knew, this little seven-year-old guy knew every song that they put out. He could sing them all backwards in Pig Latin. He was cute as a button. And he also had a twin brother. One of them had hair. One of them didn't have hair. Of course, the young fellow who was sick didn't have hair, but he had a huge smile on his face. Anyways, we got him tickets to see this group. And we normally wouldn't go along with them, but the parents wanted me to come along to help them out. They were from a rural area, and they weren't used to the big city, so we got hotels for them and limos and meals, and then the concert where they sat right in front. And we did that, and halftime, we brought the kids back to meet the singers, and he sang along with them, and the family was just pumped. Make a long story short, when we left the theater, I had a limo parked in a back street right behind the back door of the theater. And I went out there to make sure that the family was going to get in the limo. You know, everything was going to go forth nicely. And there was a whole bunch of people from the regular crowd there. They thought the stars were coming out. Well, out comes this little diminutive family with two little seven-year-old boys, and they get in the limo and drive away, and everybody's scratching their head. But the family had so much fun. Now, here's the key for me then. I went back to my car and broke into tears. I'm a pretty big old guy, but I didn't know that this would affect me. It was so simple to create something that changed lives. This family had an experience that had been taken away from the hospital and all the stuff that was going on with their brother and their son. And so I thought it was pretty easy to create good and create memorable stuff and change some lives, and I get as much out of it as they do. That kind of planted the seed as to what legacies can be, and work then for the last 30 years kind of analyzing it and taking, if you ask most people, say that at a polite dinner, saying what would your legacy be, most people kind of say, well, I haven't gotten to it yet. You know, I've got the kids, I've got the job, we've got things going on. I'll get to it later. Well, none of us are guaranteed a later. So the work I've done in putting everything in this book is showing how to specifically create some legacies that connect you to people, that use your signature strengths and generally make you happier. So the success of the book has been that people have things to do immediately, they about three chapters in, they can create one of the most powerful legacies they could ever give their family. And that pleases me, because now people have a way to get things, a way to build legacies and build the stories that surround, that accompany them.
Rob, you brought up some great points there, and I wanted to start with you here today and ask you this. When you talk about when you use the word legacy, contrast for me, if you would, the difference between what the general public might perceive legacy to mean and what, in reality, what in your mind it actually means.
Right. I think most of the general public assumes that legacy is kind of about money and death. It's the stuff you leave behind to the kids and the grandkids, etc. I think that's the general look at what legacy is. And what I did over the course of the research and talking to tons of people around the world was trying to define legacy to be much more than just money and death, and I'll get to it later. So the definition I use is legacy is something that I create now that connects and enhances lives now. That is, I enjoy it now and so do others. And it will continue to positively affect lives when I'm gone. So I can create legacies now that I get to enjoy for 30, 40 years. And when I finally nod my and breathe my final smile, I know that this stuff will continue to enhance lives, and it will continue to put smiles on faces and continue to connect people. So I think the difference is, don't wait till you're going to die to start thinking about your legacy, or you learn about your legacies from your eulogist. That's just a little late. Have some fun creating them now and enjoying them now and connecting you to other people and enhancing their lives also. And then in 30, 40 years, when you finally go away, a smile's on your face, because it will continue. So I think that's the difference. It's the now part. Don't wait. Now's the time to start creating them.
Why is it, I mean, obviously, well, let's be blunt here, the subject of death, I think, is fairly uncomfortable for a lot of people. Why is it that people, when you think of legacy, you know, I looked it up in the dictionary, and it referred to one of the things you talked about, a gift by will of money or other personal property, and that's not what you're referring to.
No.
You're referring to an enduring gift. Why is there... Is it just because people are uncomfortable with death that they don't pursue this any further?
You know what? A number of financial people have said to me they've stolen the word legacy. Legacy is so tied to money and how you structure your funds and how you build your resources so you can pass them down. And they laugh at it and I say, well, I'm going to try and change that. I'm going to make legacies a lot more fun and connective and useful for people now when they're living. It may take a little while. It's well planted that legacy is about money and moving it down the line in your will. But I'd like to know, and I'm hearing from people who've read the book that, yeah, once you know how to create them now, it's way more fun than just packaging up your money and sending it down the line when you go.
Well, you know, I would certainly hope so. You know, I did find a secondary definition, and I think that one, this was in Webster's, and I think this is closer to what you're talking about. It says something transmitted by or received from an ancestor or predecessor or from the past. Something, not necessarily money.
Right. But it still doesn't deal with now. And what I'm trying to do is say, we can build them now. You and I can build them now and enjoy them now. And right, I recommend in my book that you keep just what is a little legacy journal. Here's what I've done. Here's a legacy. Here's a from tiny to large. You keep a legacy journal, and you know that in 20 years from now, I'm saying, hey, I've done some pretty good stuff, and all of this will continue after I go. And imagine. Have you ever been to a funeral? I don't know if you've been asked would you give the eulogy? And sometimes it's hard because you really don't know what that person's done. Well, I'm saying to folks, once they read the book, start keeping a legacy journal, and that is all the stuff you've done that connect you to people, that enhance lives, that will continue to move on. then all the eulogist has to do is get your legacy journal and read it and say, here's what David did during his life. Here's what David thought were his legacies. Here's what Rob thought were his legacies. Anyway, that's way down the line, but the real difference is creating them now and enjoying them now with others and knowing that they will continue. That's the big change from, as you say, the Websters, or the first one you gave us is about packaging up the money and giving it away in a will.
Yeah, well, okay. But let's answer me this then, Rob. Why? Why is this so important? Why should people really think hard about doing this?
If you've ever been unhappy, sometimes we can be unhappy because we're not using our what is us, our signature strengths, our values and our talents and our skills. Sometimes we get into a position at life where you're really not using them. And I've been there too as a writer and producer. When you're not busy enough or feeling that you're really being tapped, that's where sometimes some unhappiness comes in. So why legacy? Legacy, in building legacies, uses all your values and your talents and your skills, and sometimes in different ways. I can tell you some stories. And so why do it? It's to tap into all that you are, number one, connect you to other people who get to enjoy the things you're building also, and building with them. It's not just you, but building with them. Therefore, there's a connection there. And all the research, of course, says that the happiest people on earth are the ones who are using their signature strengths and are connected to other people. End of story. That seems to be the reason people are the happiest. So once you've connected to other people and use your signature strengths and built some things, why do it? You're just a happier person. There's a sense of I am being useful. I am helping others lead, helping myself and helping others lead more joyful lives. And we're having fun doing it. So I guess that's why. You can boil it down, David, to I'm using me and I'm happier with these people.
I'm visiting this afternoon with Rob Lucy. Rob is the author of a book entitled Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People. Well, let's talk about the different types of legacies, Rob. Tell me about that. What kinds of legacies are there?
Well, to keep it fairly controllable and simple, there's a million kinds of legacies, but I broke them down into three areas, and one is very, very personal. That is, everybody listening, I'll tell you about one legacy you could do, and it would be powerful for the family, and I'll call that tell your story. Then there's a second one about the second legacy, would again about story, but it's about your family, and I'll tell you a story there. And then the third level of legacy is creating from tiny, from a corner garden to an international charity, and create your legacies where you move from a value that is important to you to the skills and talents and resources you have and build something that you want to build. So So three stages of legacy. One, tell your story, your personal story. Number two, gather the stories of those whose stories you don't want to disappear. And number three, create their stories, and that is you using your talent, skills, values, working with others to build something, as I say, from small to quite large. So I'll give you an idea of the first one called tell your story. Would that be all right?
Absolutely.
In the book, what I do is I give a long list of about 500 values. All of us, like it or not, lead our lives with some values. As a matter of fact, if you said, again, remember that polite dinner table I talked about earlier? If you said, what are your values? Most people would go, We don't think about it much. We don't trying to articulate, because nobody's been asked. Well, I'm asking. And I say to the reader, pick 3 to 5 values that you think run your life. And they can change, not a big deal. Pick 3 to 5 values that you think run your life. Because we're going to create a legacy for you, and it's going to be called Tell Your Story. So now, once you've got those three values, and I'm going to look for mine now. I'm in the book. But once you've got the values, then tell me why that is an important value to you and how you lived it. So some of my values, I put down 5 of them, and I said, I write in the book why these values are important to me, and then I tell a story exactly about how I live them. Here, one of my values is telling the truth, and if I say it, my integrity is real important to me. So that's one of my values, and I'm writing this down. It's a very short paragraph, and I say, well, here's my one value is integrity. Let's call it integrity. And here's a story about how I think I lived it. And I'll tell you this story. I was going to, I was lined up to climb a mountain in British Columbia, the tallest mountain in British Columbia, which is not far from Mount McKinley in Alaska. And we were going to be leaving the next day, but I got a call from a friend of mine, and I knew his wife was very sick with breast cancer, and he called and said, Kathy left us this morning. And can you be at the funeral on Thursday and be a pallbearer? I said, Ken, I would love to be there, but I think this is even more important that I climb this mountain, so I'm going to take something up for Kathy and put it at the very, very top of this mountain. So he was good with that. So then a few days later, we're getting up to the last day of climbing this mountain. It was a very technical climb. It was a real tough one. And we were about 400 feet from the top, and we had to jump across. I know your listeners can see like blue ice below you. There's a break in the ice, and we have to jump across that and plant ourselves against a wall of about 45 degrees of ice and snow and clamber up that wall about 50 feet. I stood on the other side of that, and I looked at this thing, and what I had to take to for Kathy, by the way, I forgot to mention that too. They were a Catholic family, so I went and got a crucifix and had it blessed for her, and I was going to put this at the very top and take a picture of it and give it back to Ken, her husband and his family. So I had that ready, but I had to get across this this crevice and plant myself like Spider-Man on this snow and ice and crawl up. I couldn't do it. I nearly got physically sick. I looked there and I said, I can't do this. I am just broken. I am so tired. Then I thought, what do I do if I give this crucifix to one of the other guys? I will have said to Ken, I'm taking this to the top, and it won't be me that gets it to the top. It'll be somebody else, because I physically was just so broken down. And I stood there and I could not stand the fact that I'd have to tell him I never got it to the top. Somebody else did. So I jumped, planted, and made it to the top and put the crucifix there. Putting it there, sounded like I'm a crybaby, but I broke into tears because it was tough. It was real tough. But boy, did I feel good coming down. We got some good pictures of this crucifix at the top. I gave them to Ken and his family later, and it was a pretty monumental feeling for everybody. So I tell a story very briefly about one of my values. Then I tell similar stories about the other five values I picked. I just put those stories in a letter, and I call it my legacy letter. And I put it in a drawer, and if I get hit by a herd of water buffalo tomorrow, and there's none here, by the way, but something happens to me, you could read my legacy letter, which says, here are Rob's five main values and how he lived them. And that would be my legacy to my family, to know that that's how I lived. And would it live on? They would remember those stories very, very keenly, I think. And in three generations from now, five generations, my great-great-great-great-great-grandchildren would say, ah, that's who great-great-great-great-grandpa and Uncle Rob was. So it would go down and affect them to say, here's the lineage we came from. So that is called Tell Your Story, a really simple one for everybody on this call to do. Is figure out what your three to five values are. Just do one value for now. Just get started. And say, if your one value is giving back, tell me the story of how you live that. And put that in an envelope and put it in a drawer. And then come back and maybe value number two and number three and let it build on. And then you can add other stuff to the letter if you like. But that's a simple one, which I think I've seen it before. It's monumentally powerful for the family to read the inner thoughts of the person who says, these are my values and here's how I live them. And by the, these letters can have all kinds of other stuff in them too. How you'd like to give your love away, how do you want it to love, how you messed up and you're sorry for that, any number of things. But the way to start it is telling the story of your values. And it's really kind of interesting that when I wrote mine with five values and five stories, I felt really kind of liberated because I finally put some thought to this and say, yeah, that is me. That is me. And some of these values I hold, but I haven't really acted on them really strongly. So I'm now more aware of that. So it may be that I'll create some stories that will create some activity or some experiences that show that those values are important to me. For instance, let me say I had five. I had actually an original list of 10 values. When I found out I had prostate cancer, I shot health up right up to number one, and the stories that went along with it was the research and everything that had to be done. I'm now 5 years free of cancer, and I've let health sink down to number six, actually. So I just keep in very good physical shape, et cetera, and other ones are at the top, including integrity. I think integrity is always number one. So that's an idea for us. I've talked a lot. A simple charity, a simple legacy called your legacy letter, the story of your values.
Rob, I wanted to tell you a little bit about something. One of the things you talked about is a different type of legacy where you gather other people's stories. And to me, that's really fascinating because I've known some people that have done that. I know somebody who has been involved in a personal project to gather stories from World War II veterans.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, those guys, let's face it, none of us are getting any younger, and those guys are dropping over every day. And those stories, soon, we will not have access to them. And so that type of a legacy, that is really powerful, isn't it? I mean, look at all the different lives you're touching, including your own.
Yeah. Well, I have some personal experience in that. I started interviewing my father, who was a well-decorated artillery man. You know, he landed on the beaches and was in Europe until, mid-45. Some stunning stories. So I interviewed him. I'm my first training is a journalist, so I kind of know how to do this, but I can give you a hint to it, how to do it well. But I interviewed him for a long time, and then we went to D-Day in 1944, and then we toured, and I knew all his tour, and we met mayors of towns where he was there. And then anyways, make a long story short, Dad started writing, and he wasn't a writer, but he started writing, and we turned it into a book, which we launched in front of about 500 friends and family. Hugely powerful. Now, that's a big project, but I knew how to do it as a journalist, and my sister's a producer. But right now, because of digital technology, you could do a talk to grandpa. I think the key question is, I'm going to back up a minute. The key question is, for everybody listening, is to say, is there somebody whose story you don't want to disappear? Is there somebody in your life whose story you want to get down so other people learn it? It could be grandma, grandpa, father, a mother, Auntie Jean, Uncle Charlie, whomever. If they've got a great story to tell, would you feel bad if they left and that story went with them? So now, with digital technology, it's really easy to grab those, to get those stories, either by, shooting it, either doing a video. I'm a big fan of just audio because you can turn audio into print, and you can turn a print into just a simple little book. But here's the key, the one thing. Most people think that, well, I can't, I'm not a journalist, I can't do this. There's one question, and there's only one question you need. And write this down if you've never used it before, and you'll watch good journalists use this, only this question, in a softer, non-political interview, but when you want to get the stories out of people. And the question simply is, tell me about. I could say to you, David, tell me about your high school experience. And that gives you, the person who's going to answer that question, the right to go anywhere where you want with that story of yours. And you'll go there with enthusiasm, and you'll be painting pictures in your own mind, etc. And I can continue on. And so you're telling me the story about your high school, and I say, oh, tell me the story about that English teacher. And you will tell me the story. So there's one question, and it seems a little simplistic, but it works like a hot damn. It was tell me about. You could say that when you go get the story of grandma or grandpa or Uncle Charlie. Uncle Charlie, tell me about your childhood. and let Uncle Charlie go, and then you can kick in at any time. So anyways, gathering the story of those people is now easier because of digital technology. And with the one question, tell me about, you'll be amazed that you could sit down with somebody for an hour and just tape it on audio tape or video if you want to, and you'll get fabulous stuff with that one question. And some people say, well, I don't really have a story to tell. I disagree 1,000%. Everybody has a story to tell. It's just that most people have never been asked to tell their story. And when they're asked, they may be a little reticent at the start, but soon the ice on the river will break and there'll be a flood of content and story and emotion and meaning that makes them feel good because finally somebody's wanting their story. I turned my father's book into a book, and we gave it away to, you know, about 500 people, and I've still got copies and still people ask for it. And is that part of my legacy? It's part of mine and part of my dad's, because in 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations from now, our ancestors will say, there's great, 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 great grandfather Bob. And it's a nice feeling to be a part of that.
Rob, one of the things about your book is that you write all this information with a certain level of humor. Why is that so important to include?
The humor?
Yes.
I guess because I definitely want to make legacy building enjoyable for the reader of the book, and I think they'll get that out of it. And then they can move into creating new legacies for themselves with a smile on their face. As we started talking about it, the very first part of the call, most people think it's about death and money. And I just want to take away that patina, that heavy, dark patina off the concept of legacy and say, no, it's about building stuff and connecting others now that we all enjoy and really get a kick out of. And the pride that you get out of the main legacy builder, whether it's a simple legacy letter or getting a book done with Uncle Charlie or many, many other ones that I can talk about in the third category. I want to keep it fun. So in the book, it's graphically interesting. There's a little character we move along and evolve in the book, along with lots of stories that will, I think, be the catalyst for everybody's imagination saying, hey, well, that gives me an idea. That's what I want the book to do, is do exactly what we've done, or it'll give your imagination another kick to produce a different kind of legacy. But I think we all proceed with a lot more vigor and energy when it's fun, and so that's why I wanted to make sure the book was enjoyable to read and put a smile on your face.
Rob, it's been a great conversation with you here today. If we have a listener out there who would like to be able to take a look at your website to learn more about your work or get a copy of your book, how can they go about doing that?
They can go to Amazon.com and just do a search for Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People, or my name, Rob Lucy, L-U-C-Y. They can go to the website called YourLegacySmile.com, and that'll teach them a little bit more. They'll get a bit more into it. And they'll also, once they get the book, the one we didn't cover, the main area of legacy building, and that is create legacies with your values and your skills and your talents and your significant strengths. We've got lots of stories in there showing how. I'll just give you a little. Can I get another quick idea?
Sure.
There's one area called the third part of legacy called create your legacy, create your stories. Here's a little one that'll show how it can be. One of my talents is gardening, and I'm a pretty good door knocker. I don't mind knocking on doors and telling people something. So, when you come into our neighborhood, there's a right-hand turn, and all our homes are on a hill on the left. And that right-hand turn, though, there's one of those great big yellow concrete abutments. It's kind of ugly, and there are a bunch of weeds growing in front of it. I called the city and said, can you guys come up and plant a bunch of flowers here? And they said, nope, no money. So I said, okay. So I just went back down, got a shovel and a bunch of stuff, and I pulled up in front of this thing and started digging out all these weeds and things. Well, in about 5 minutes, there were 10 people there. And there were people from, I lived down the other end of the street. I'd never met anybody at this end of the street. all of them were brought their tools and stuff, and so 10 people who had never known each other start cleaning up this whole thing. We then threw in a bunch of money each, I think $10-$20 each. I went down and got a whole bunch of flowers. We planted them against a fence. We planted them against this concrete abutment. And in about 2 months, less than that, a month, it was a wall of color. That's a tiny little legacy of mine and of theirs, too. We enjoyed each other. We connected with each other. This is 3 years ago, and this has happened again every year. It's called Legacy Corner. And it's a little legacy of mine that I use the strength called gardening and marketing, you could call it. And I get all the value out of it by driving past it every day. That's a small, tiny little legacy using my skills and talents. Then there's big ones. I've a woman who I met a couple of months before finishing the book. She was a young lady of 27, and she was in Uganda working with a United Nations organization and didn't really enjoy it. So she started her own. She's now put through something like 800 Uganda girls through school who would never had a chance to go to school. And so what's her legacy going to be? It's going to be a change Uganda with all these women coming out through university. So your strengths and values can build small legacies or large legacies. Your choice. And there's no secret. It's really just using you and having a good, clear view of what your values and other assets are. So that's the I'm sorry to go into that story a little later, but if you go to amazon.com or yourlegacysmile.com, I would love to hear from people once they've started to have refocused their legacy building, and hear some great stories from them.
That's Rob Lucy joining me here this afternoon on Alive at 5. He is the author of Legacies Aren't Just for Dead People. Keep it tuned right here to Yankton's home team, AM 1450 KYNT, and we'll be right back after this.